Hi, everybody. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, Two Straight Up, the Chuck and Julie Show, brought to you as always by
ColoradoCitizenPress.com, Colorado's conservative voice website. You want to check every day. It's certainly one we do too. And we want to thank you. They do a great job helping get our show and our information out there too.
Yeah, and it's great. It's great stories, and I check a couple times a day. There's nothing like them. And also want to thank Synergetics, which Julie McCallum will talk about at the bottom of the hour, but want to get everything ready for come the fall and second wave.
It's a health thing.
It's a health thing.
Hey, we've got coming up, we got Randy Corcoran. Everybody knows who Randy Corcoran is. 710 Camp. Everybody knows. Talk show host. He's also an attorney, and he now represents pretty much everyone in Colorado.
In America
who's fighting to reopen. So if Randy's there on Zoom, we can't always see everybody. Randy, go ahead and hit your video and go ahead and unmute yourself when you get on. But he is filing lawsuits, I think, tomorrow.
Left and right.
Yeah, on behalf of some of the people in Colorado, who the governor is like slammed and squashed. We're also going to talk to Tim Neville at the bottom of the hour, former state senator, talk to him about this incredible overreach by Governor Polis. And then, bizarrely, Channel 9 is complaining because Cory Gardner has the audacity to want to debate on other stations but theirs.
And who's whining about it? Kyle Clark, which is the reason nobody wants to be on Channel 9 or whatever debates.
It's so misleading. They make it sound as if Cory Gardner's dodging debates. He's in five other debates, including two on two Denver
would
TV
Would you
want to,
if you were a Republican, would you go on Channel 9? You'd be crazy.
But anyway, that's all coming up there,
oh,
too.
I hate those
too. I know. But I see we got Randy there. Hey, Randy. Now, we saw you Saturday.
What are you doing now?
You were in motorcycle garb. Today, you have your lawyer hat on. Good afternoon, and thanks for your time.
Well, thank you very much. And, you know, Peter Boyles has dubbed Kyle Clark the Eddie Haskell of journalism here.
Yeah.
The passing of the actor who played Eddie Haskell for Leave It to Beaver.
Right.
Yeah, what a goofy guy. So, Randy, talk about that. You represent several of the restaurants who have opened and then been ordered shut by the governor in outrageous circumstances. And I understand you guys are going to be filing a lawsuit tomorrow. Why don't you bring us up to speed on that?
Yeah, sure. We've been working hard for the last couple of weeks. I'm getting 15 or 20 phone calls a day from restaurants, from churches, from salons, from all different kinds of businesses now, who for one reason or another are horribly impacted still by the so-called safer at home orders of Jared Polis. But in and around all that, my crew at the law firm had been working feverishly, and we're finally ready to file our first lawsuit on behalf of CNC Cafe.
Okay.
And really excited about it. This isn't the big kahuna. We're simply trying to keep it simple in state court, asking a judge in Douglas County to say enough is enough. It's time to open up Colorado, that these executive and emergency orders and all the administrative garbage that's come in to try and enforce them is a step too far. And so we're very excited about that.
Let me ask you, one of the things that seems to me, and you get into this in the lawsuit, that seems to be completely arbitrary. There are some restaurants that are open in Colorado and the governor is leaving alone. There are other businesses that are pretty darn similar to a restaurant that are opening, and that's all fine and good. I mean, to me, it just seems completely arbitrary. And if you happen to annoy Jared Polis and he throws the full force of the state against you, threatening to throw you in jail, while, by the way, releasing murderers who then go out and murder other people.
It's crazy. And, you know, Jennifer Hulin from Water's Edge Winery was the first one to open back on May 1st. But we decided to do CNC Cafe as the first lawsuit because they're still closed in Castle Rock. That license has not been reinstated. And the governor targeted them specifically for closure. He bypassed. We still haven't received a notice of charges against their license for the Castle Rock Cafe. And so there's certainly been no administrative hearing to see if somebody, you know, went too far or anything else. So we're taking that straight to a district court judge tomorrow in Douglas County.
How's that going to work? Will the judge rule right away, or do you have any idea, or what do you?
Is it a preliminary injunction, or what are you asking? What relief?
We're asking for injunctive relief and declaratory relief. So enjoin the state from continuing to keep their license in suspense. We're also asking for these orders to be, you know, basically tell these businesses that this has gone too far. This is not constitutional. So we're filing along with the complaint that will be a motion for an emergency, a forthwith hearing,
right,
to address the reopening of CNC Cafe, with the understanding that some of the other things may take a broader hearing and a little more time.
Right. Right.
What about in terms of other states? Because I know it's been kind of a little bit of a mix. It sort of depends, as always, legally on what kind of judge you get. But at least positively, there have been in other states some judges saying, no, the governors can't shut down certain businesses or restaurants like this, right?
Yeah. Well, Wisconsin, everybody's been throwing at me. And what happened in Wisconsin was actually not a shutdown of the governor's order, but a shutdown of the actions of a public health official who exceeded the scope of her authority.
Okay.
And so the Supreme Court, Republican-led Supreme Court in Wisconsin, said that's unconstitutional, you can't do it. The good news is the governor, understanding that he's also facing a Republican legislature, has come out publicly and said, I'm not going to try any more shutdown orders. So the victory in court didn't get them where they needed to go, but the ultimate result of it was no more shutdowns in Wisconsin. And we would love for some of the fallout from our actions to be the same here in Colorado. But of course, we've got Democrats in control of most of our courts and stuff.
What about, you know, regarding CNC Cafe? So they're prohibited by POLIS from even doing takeout. They can't do anything.
They don't have a license anymore. They can't do it. Yeah.
Their Castle Rock license is summarily suspended, and as POLIS said, could be 30 days, could be indefinitely.
And that's even if, say, I mean, it's looking as if the governor and certain counties and mayors may be looking to open up restaurants, or at least allow them to open up under certain conditions, maybe as early as next week. But this would still continue past then, right? Totally, just arbitrarily punitive by POLIS.
Yes, without a doubt. And, you know, I've looked over, I'm going to be on John Caldera's show, Devil's Advocate, Friday night. And we recorded that today. And so I was able to look at the proposed guidelines from Governor POLIS for these restaurants. These restaurants can't operate this way. Tables 8 feet apart.
Right.
Have you guys been inside Water's Edge Winery?
Uh-uh.
It's a small place. 8 feet apart for tables. Everybody has to shut down at 10 p.m. I guess the virus must come out at night.
Yeah.
Go after people.
Well, you know, they didn't come from bats, I guess. So maybe that's a thinking there.
Right.
Or something. Well, you know, and it's
nocturnal virus.
Yeah. Then
well, what are the limitations on? I'm sure you've been, your staff has been assiduously working on it. What are the parameters in law in Colorado or probably elsewhere about what are the limits on emergency powers of a governor?
Well, that's a real problem, Chuck, because the Colorado legislature, and Republicans voted for this too after 9/11, gave sweeping emergency powers to the governor.
Mm.
So, and you know, the bottom line is what the governor did at the start of this pandemic, nobody was complaining about it.
Right.
Nobody was complaining about a couple of weeks to shut down, build up medical resources, see exactly how this thing plays out and what we would learn about it. And even into 4 weeks, I wasn't hearing complaints. But then he extended it for 30 days, which he has the sole power to do.
Wow.
And then he just recently extended it for another 30 days. And now the sun's out, fresh air. The numbers are, Colorado has 1% of the deaths in Colorado.
Right.
There are 12 states that have over 80% of the deaths in Colorado. But we're still under the iron-fisted or thumb of the governor with this emergency power. And that's the balancing act, Chuck, that I think we're going to ask a court to do. At the start of the pandemic, sure, a couple weeks in or maybe a month in, yes. But now we have new information. Now we have flattened the curve. Now we have thousands of hospital beds at the convention center and elsewhere that aren't even being used. And so enough is enough. It's time to open Colorado.
Well, he's also, as this has gone along, thinks his powers have increased.
Oh, yeah.
Because originally he said, hey, look, you know, the budget's in control of the legislature. I am bound to do what the legislature does under Colorado law. And then he gets, you know, umpty-ump millions. And he said, you know,
$1.6 billion.
You know, that was so.
To Planned Parenthood, too, by the way.
Never mind what I said before. I'll just distribute it. It doesn't matter. I've got that power
and
now.
And
while
I'm at it, we're going to talk to you about this. I'll just change the election laws.
Election
too,
laws,
by the way.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, well, you
I can do whatever I want. And I know this is so good. Those Germans, the Reichstag fire thing, I just didn't know how a great thing it was. Just amazing.
Well, an emergency order's in place for 90 days when we have 1% of the deaths. We have more than enough medical capacity. We now have masks for people who want them. And just there's nothing that justifies this as an emergency anymore.
No. Well, and
there any limitation? Can he just continue this on?
I think so. Until somebody files a lawsuit to stop him, which is why that's what we're going to do tomorrow.
Yeah. Exactly, because I think that's what it's going to take. You know, the other thing, and just a few more questions for you, Randy. The other thing to me that seems it's becoming increasingly obvious and unfair is that Polis did very much pick winners and losers. Initially, remember, Mayor Hancock was going to close down liquor stores, and within, not even exaggerating, hours, the liquor lobby had bombarded them with phone calls and texts, and lo and behold, suddenly liquor stores are now safe, right? Pot shops are safe. Certain kinds of places, I mean, if you're a big corporate store, you're totally fine. If you're a big corporate something where you've got a lot of lobby people behind it, and the Brownstein law firm, people admit this, right? Then you get to open. But if you're a small cafe and you annoy the governor, he doesn't just say, okay, you got to go back to following the bizarre rules I set. He closes them down potentially indefinitely,
which,
right?
Once again goes into the length you're talking about. I mean, for 2 weeks, okay, fine, 3 weeks, maybe even a month. But I mean, he continues it on. The unequal application of the law becomes worse and worse and worse. Its disparities become worse and worse.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. We've got Tara from Castle Rock on line two. Let's bring her in.
Hey, Tara, thank you for calling. You're on with Chuck and Julie and Randy Corcoran.
Hey, so I was up in Boulder yesterday because I live in Castle Rock, but my friends are up there, and every couple of days we get up there, and there's a couple of restaurants that actually sell food on the mall, like on the Pearl Street Mall, and you can get to-go margaritas.
Right.
Yay.
And we're not millennials. We're in our 50s, and we went to Tiaco is the place, and we got to-go margaritas, and we walked to the Boulder Creek.
Yeah,
you're closed down.
I am telling you, the kids are out in full force. They don't have any clothes on. They're not social distancing. Everybody was in a bikini or less.
And the virus has less surface then, you know, or something.
Or something.
That's the Boulder I remember.
So we were just there, and like we got the margaritas, and then we walked over to Mustard's Last Stand, which is a great hot dog stand.
Right, I've been there since I was in law school.
Yep, and I'm a New Yorker, so I'm used to walking around town with food in my hand, you know, on the street. So we did that. But yeah, the whole creek was totally full. And now I just saw online, like they had pictures this morning, like Peter was saying, like, oh my God, they were not social distancing. So now they shut down the entire creek from like all the way.
All right. Yeah, what? There you go. There's your government for you.
Randy just made a face.
To Broadway.
It's insanity, Tara.
All the way to Broadway.
Hey, Tara, thank you for calling. You hang in there, and we'll meet you at the margarita place maybe next weekend.
Yes,
Mustard's Last Stand.
Or Rio sells them too. And you can get them on the mall to walk, and then you and the homeless people can be drinking on the mall too.
Excellent. You can share with them. They're always happy to share with them.
Tara, thank you. Randy, let me just a couple more questions because I know you're like busy. What do you anticipate, or do you, the result being? I mean, I'm hoping.
He doesn't know, honey.
Well, I know, but it's my job to ask. I'm.
Well, you guarantee us a result here, Randy.
I mean, what do you hope, and what do you think might happen?
Well, it is interesting, and I did want to comment on the point you made about the disparate application of this thing. You talked about liquor stores are fine, but a beach blow isn't. A mega church cannot have. They believe, and this is not true. If any churches who are not opening should call me. Please call me.
Okay.
But the way it's being interpreted is a Walmart with huge inside, you know, four big block walls, but can open with hundreds and hundreds of people pouring in and out, some with masks, some without. But a mega church that has the same massive size inside is theoretically limited to 10 people per service.
Oh, there you go, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's one of the interpretations that's out there. I have actually had churches open, and there were services on Sunday with no repercussions so far.
Right.
So I encourage churches to reach out.
Right. They said today you can do drive-ins now, can be open, apparently.
Well, what drive-ins? They had a drive-in movie that can't be open.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
But it's the length of time. Any emergency, you know, the disparate one is acceptable because the long-term deleterious effects are small or smaller. Yeah. But every day that goes on, every week that continues, the disparate treatment results in more and more dislocations. And it, you know, hopefully... Well, you'll have a judge who isn't too Democratic.
Well, one of the reasons we decided to start in state court is because we have Shooter's Grill in Garfield County. We've got Water's Edge in Arapaho, CNC Cafe in Douglas. Three different judges are going to get to look at basically the same set of laws and some differing facts, but people who've been impacted very negatively. So it'll be
all of them have been appointed by Democrats. So, yeah.
Well, we can hope. Chuck, they'll be hopeful.
How many federal district court judges are there in Colorado, and what's the party breakdown?
That I'm not sure.
You should. You know, I know we have one opening there, and the president has.
Well, but he's in state court right now.
I got that, but he's going to go to your only chance. Well, I don't think it's your only chance. There used to be a couple. You know, back in the good old days, there used to be kind of libertarian Democrats, and they've long disappeared along with the ACLU.
This is all political now, Chuck and Julie. Yeah. It's all political now. This has nothing to do with safety or health.
No.
The curve is down. The virus is understood now. People know how to protect themselves. Blue states are staying closed or limited. Red states are doing well. And they've been open for, you know, a couple of weeks now, some of them.
Right. Yeah. Let me, Randy, final question. Can you just talk to folks, you know, because we're talking about the lawsuit and things like that, and that's important. But what is this, you know, the folks that you represent, the owners of these restaurants, what is this all done to them and continuing to do to them?
Yeah, it's horrible. I'd like to say two things about that. They're all on the brink of bankruptcy. Sure. Lauren Boebert has not been shut down that long yet, and she's got a national profile. So she can probably ride this out a little bit longer. Water's Edge Cafe, her house is at stake, guaranteeing her small business loan. Even under these new guidelines that the governor's proposing for Memorial Day, she can't stay in business any longer. CNC Cafe may not reopen in Castle Rock because they've lost so much money and so much momentum down there. So those are family legacies. Those are kids and families that are losing everything they've put out. And the other thing that's been a little frustrating for me, you know, I've been on with you guys, I've been on radio shows and social media and all doing everything I can to get more and more people to evaluate this situation and make their own decision about whether it's time to stand up and say enough is enough. We had a massive motorcycle rally on Sunday and that was great. But without businesses all around the state making the decision to go ahead and survive, a few small businesses are not going to be enough momentum to turn this thing around, I fear.
I think you're absolutely right. Okay,
well, maybe the Denver Post will help you out because they had to put Megan Schrader, the editorial page editor, on furlough. So they're feeling the pain. Maybe it can be reflected. Instead of writing all editorials praising Polis, maybe they go, wait a minute, well, what's happening?
Well, Julie?
If any of them need a good lawyer, I'm available.
Okay, all right, Julie, all right.
And Randy,
Julie,
Saturday,
Chuck, and Randy? Could I toss a nickel in real quick?
Sure.
Randy, it's Chris Doty. We've met a couple of times at this point. And I mean, the tagline here is that Corona is killing Christianity and churches are not opening and they are laying off 30% and 40% of their staff at this point. Very successful large churches in Douglas County are going dark. Their donations are down, you know, 50% and 60%. And, talking about the drive-in churches, Cherry Hills Community Church has been successful in doing a drive-in, but they space the cars. You can't have your windows down. You can't take your children out to go to the bathroom, only one family at a time. So we're in a parking lot that's 50 or 60 acres, a building that's probably 50 or 60,000 square feet, and you can only have a limited number of people. So this is infringing upon our right to religion, and it is a violation of our rights. And I just want to know where, you know, Randy, is there any hope and maybe rallying a couple of the churches? Would you be willing to participate with that?
Listen, I've got it. Yes, I've had churches who had services on Sunday, but I can't reach out to them. They've got to reach out to me. I give out my cell number. My office puts everybody in touch with me. I'm on the phone till 10 o'clock at night. It seems like every single day now. I would love to have more churches ready to talk to me about my interpretation of this rule and why it doesn't impact them in having in-person services on Sunday. I'm sure I'm right because nobody's shut us down yet, the churches that have opened.
Chris, very good question. Randy, let me have you just, I lied about the final question, two final. One, talk us about your Saturday show, but also if people want to help financially, some of these businesses, sure, because lawsuits are expensive.
Well, that's terrific. ColoradoFreedomForce.com has been raising money for all of these lawsuits. We're about to finally file the first one tomorrow for the organization, the cafe that has the most notoriety and is still shut down. And then we'll be filing for Jennifer, and we'll be filing for Lauren up at Shooter's Grill as well. So
that's
great. ColoradoFreedomForce.com. If you want to reach me for a legal advice, church, any kind of business, there are all kinds of loopholes in this rule. It's corporanlaw.com, all O's in my name, corporanlaw.com. And this one's for you, Chuck. We just realized this when we were finalizing the first complaint, which I sent you a draft of, an early draft.
I haven't had a chance to read it yet.
Okay. Well, you know, one of our claims is that the government is acting ultra virus, which means that they're acting beyond the scope of their authority. It's a Latin term that means beyond the scope of authority. So Polis and the Colorado state government are acting ultra virus because of a virus.
There you go.
Gotta love it. Gotta love it.
Randy Corporan, 9 to noon, 710 KNUS. Randy,
take care, Randy. Keep up the good job.
Appreciate. All right. Thank you there.
All right. All right. Well, we got lots of people. If you want,
anybody wants to chime in, feel free to go ahead. Just
I see Steve Barlock there and many others.
Go ahead. We've got Tim Neville coming up at 3:30. But in the meantime, I think it's so I want to just emphasize ColoradoFreedomForce.com. Those guys are doing a great job trying to raise money and helping to raise money. Karen Cataline says tyranny is the ultra virus. She's absolutely right about that. You know, it's become ridiculous. And I think Randy, in the lawsuit, and I had a chance to read through some of it, they point out just it's completely arbitrary. The CNC people made Polis look bad, right? So he closes them down indefinitely and prevents them from even doing what other restaurants can do. That's solely to punish them, right? And to send a message to other businesses, don't you dare. And I think Randy's right. The more businesses that do open up, the easier it can be. And I mean, they can't shut everybody down, right? And
They can try.
Yeah. You see Steve Barlock there. Hey, Steve, how are you doing?
Hey guys, pretty good. I'm just, my friend Robert Kirk up above, he owns a bar up in North Glen, and it's a bar. It's not a restaurant. It's where you play darts, play poker, listen to live rock and roll music. He has car shows up front, and he can't survive right now. And the regulations against that Polis is putting out is ridiculous. And we need to stand with all these small business owners. Yeah. And I'm introducing Robert to Randy, and hopefully he'll get on. But we just need to, like Randy said, we need to get so many businesses to get the momentum to push Polis over the top, because he's not going to do it because it's not good for their image. And keeping the individual down, individual rights is what the Democratic Party wants to crush. They want to have that group mentality. You have to obey the Fuhrer, and I'm sick of it, and we need to protect these individual business owners.
Exactly. And Robert, feel free to unmute yourself and chime in here. But you know, one thing I was thinking this about bars and even nightclubs and even strip clubs, right? So you look at the airlines. So the airlines who have great lobbyists and contribute a lot of money to political campaigns. You can pack an airplane full of people and somehow that's okay, right?
Not a church.
But you can't pack a church. You can't go to a bar. You can't go to a nightclub. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Hi, how are you doing?
Hey, Robert.
Tell us
about your bar and how is this impacting you?
So I've got a bar in North Glen. It's called At Cheers. We've been in business 9 years. It's been a rough ride all the way. We got it up and running. It's running really well. And then we got this unexpected shutdown. we would be able to open on June 1st, which I thought we would be able to open. But the stipulations they've got out there right now, I mean, we have pool tables. There's no pool. We have six dart boards. There's no darts. We have a dance floor. No dance floor. I mean,
is that a Cockney accent, Robert?
Yeah, I'm from Northampton, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, let me say this, too. This is why what they're doing is so stupid to you, what they're doing to you. So the CDC today came out and said, oh, guess what? Remember how we told you that the virus lived on surfaces for 3 days?
Actually, never mind.
Not true. No. As fake and as phony as all of our models, they now say that the virus doesn't live on surfaces, that you can't get it. So in other words, there's absolutely no reason, sort of people like coughing the length of a pool table, that people couldn't play pool. There's no reason that people couldn't play darts. And it's just, I mean, my sense is, I don't know, what do you think, Robert? It's just based on nothing. And it's just hurting small business owners like you guys.
Yeah, I mean, you know, people do not share darts. Steve will tell you, Steve plays darts. You know, they have their own darts. We can move furniture so they can stand back a bit, which I think, I'm being honest, I think it's pointless myself. But pool sticks, I'll take my pool sticks down and people bring their own,
yeah.
You know, but six people can sit at a table and not live together, but two people can't play pool.
Exactly. Yeah, right. Or you can have 300 people sit on a plane like this to each other. Right. And that's okay. But yeah, but you can't play pool. I mean,
as I've indicated before, I hope the courts, and God knows what courts, but they consider disparate treatment is fine for a week. He just can't keep on doing it because it's destroying people, and it becomes almost it is obnoxious what he's
I'm
doing.
I'm at the point now where I've got some money left, and do I just run with my money? What I do have left, or I just don't know. I mean, I want to open, but I don't want to get in trouble. There's consequences, you know, you know, there is consequences for it, and the liquor board could come down on you and take your liquor license away.
Sure.
Tri-County can take your food license away.
Right.
You know, it's just.
Where's your bar again?
It's in North Glen.
Okay.
Off 120th and Washington.
Okay.
We do so much for charity. We're a very communal bar. We help everybody who we can and do fundraisers, and it's just so sad to see all this hard work. I'm sitting in the bar now, just so sad to see all this hard work for 9 years just go down the drain.
Well, and how much, you know, I know at the beginning of all of this, we talked to a friend of ours who works for the Greater Glendale Chamber of Commerce. And he was saying, you know, restaurants, businesses, they can handle this for maybe 2 weeks a month. But he says you go longer than that and it starts to have a real impact. I mean, you said you're at the point now where it's going to be, do I just cut and run? Do I hold it out? I mean, that's a horrible decision that you're having to make for really no reason.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's been some grants out there and I greatly appreciate that. Without them, we wouldn't be here now, you know. But unless they change what they're going to bring out Friday, then there's absolutely no way we can survive that. I mean, you mentioned 10 o'clock. Why 10 o'clock? I mean, we open from 12 till 2 a.m.
Yeah, you're right. Why can't you? But at 10:01, all of a sudden, everyone's going to drop dead. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, right. I mean, what the gremlins are coming out? You know, it's like that movie Gremlins.
Exactly.
It's weird. I mean, you know, once you regulate, you feel like you must regulate. Whether the regulations make any sense at all, it doesn't matter. You can say you regulated. So here they go, aha, we've regulated. And you kind of go, but it makes no sense. You go, well, of course not. Not.
Robert, one more time, and I'm going to ask Steve, because Robert, you may not know this, but Chuck in particular, are actually not that bad at pool, right? And Chuck and our little boy Rev are pretty good at darts. So what's the name of your bar?
It's called At, and it's an at symbol, like in an email, at Cheers, in North Glen, 120th from Washington.
Okay, you tell Steve Barlock, let us know, and we'll be there
We'll buy Steve a beer.
Yeah, that's right. We got around pool cues too, so we can help you out.
He loves our wings, and he has the hot wings.
All right. Well, great to meet you, Robert.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Dave. We appreciate it.
Tim Neville. Tim Neville, feel free to kind of unmute yourself and pop in, but I want to read this from Sandra. So as I have always said, all a bunch of political push. See how easy that was. Crazy and scary. Damn Romney Republicans don't help. She's got a very good point. Yeah. Where are the Republicans? I mean, you know, well, the Democrats here in Colorado just said, oh, by the way, we can't open up the legislature for another little while. So,
all right. Well, since we're at the bottom of the hour, I want to talk about Synergenics, which is a wonderful life-saving program. And which gets you your biological age, not your actual age, down. So your heart's in great shape. You've got the right hormones. You got the right vitamins. You got the right kind of diet. How to control your diet. How to live a great life.
Thank you, there, Chris Doty.
And Chris Doty. All right, there it is. Youth is a feeling, not a number, which is great. Both men and women have a power to take control and actually manage their aging process. Isn't that the truth?
Chris is going to become our producer.
Our passion is to see how our patients are living healthy, fulfilled lives. You can get a free private consultation with Julie McCallum, and you'll actually love it. 720-687-387. 3681.
Say it, 720-387-3681. All right, thank you there, Chris. Synergenics.com. I can tell you, as Chuck's wife, you know, a while ago, he had heart issues, all kinds of things, and all of that has been totally taken care of. Karen Catalina is pointing out, well, county restaurants are open for dining. Yeah, as soon as they find out about it. Oh, here they are. Bulldog Pizza, Bruce's Bar and Severance, El Charro and Greeley, Grubby's Wings and Things. We got Tim Neville on with us now, too. Tim, we've been talking about POLIS overreach, executive orders extending through 2025, practically. But wanted to bring you on as a former state lawmaker. So first off, thank you for your time. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
What do you make of what Governor Polis is doing in this constant, I mean, several areas I want to talk about, but continuing to extend these emergency orders. Now he's decided, after saying he didn't have the authority to spend the federal money, he does.
He can just do it any way he wants to.
And that's not all those silly election laws. We don't even have to worry about those anymore. He and Democrat Secretary of State Jenna Griswold both agree, hey, we can change those anytime we want to.
Well, none of this is happening by accident. No. So you can definitely see the focus that the Dem Socialist governors have
right
in those blue states. Their focus is to try to prolong this closure as long as they can. They don't seem to be concerned about the pain it's causing their constituents and the lost business, lost opportunities, everything else. They're not worried about that. They're looking at short-term goals of basically focusing on, of course, defeating Donald Trump, creating major problems with that will actually prolong themselves, if they can do it, prolong themselves all the way through the election.
Right.
Well, and one of the things, let's talk about maybe the emergency order. And I know we've talked to Patrick, who you happen to know, Pat Neville, and who has said, you know, one of the things they want to look at is some kind of change on that, which, of course, it's tough with the Democrat legislature. But it seems to me that no one anticipated a situation where the governor could, on his own, without anyone being able to challenge it, just keep extending his power to issue emergency rules and regulations.
For elections, wherever else he wants to do.
Well, it's kind of interesting. There was a bill that was run in 2018 to basically take a look at some of the executive or the emergency powers, but it really didn't do anything. Matter of fact, I know I was still in 2018, and I voted against the bill because it really didn't do anything. As a matter of fact, if it did anything, it actually established some more of the bureaucracy that we're seeing and having to fight through these closures. That was unfortunate. It was one of those, you know, bipartisan bills. But
nothing worse than a bipartisan bill.
Well, yeah, if you go back and take a look at it when you have time, you'll see that it really didn't do anything. I think there were six Republicans that supported it in the Senate out of the 18 that we had. And there were a handful of Republicans that more Republicans opposed it in the House. So kudos to my son Patrick on that. But anyway, that being said, it really didn't do anything to keep the governor from basically doing this overreach. He can continue establishing on his parameter what he decides is an emergency.
What are the state constitutional limitations, if any?
You know, from what I can see in the state constitution, it basically says that the governor, when he signed his first executive order, he referenced the Constitution, which really said the governor does what the governor is supposed to do. He's the executive power. Okay, it really doesn't say anything about emergency orders. That is in statute. And I can't remember the statute number, CRS 701, I think 20-701.
Can't you apply some of the other, I mean, we have a state constitution that goes on forever and is almost a thousand times, but in theory anyway, statutes can't violate the Constitution, and there must be at least arguably limitations within the Constitution that would say, okay, yeah, he may have it pursuant to this bill, but this bill violates the Constitution and therefore is not valid.
Well, the bill violates a number of things, not just in the Colorado Constitution, but in the U.S. Constitution.
Yeah.
When the governor comes in and he executes orders that says, that landlords cannot evict people.
Right.
Things like that. Those are definitely, I think Thomas Cranwitter the other day did a great job of establishing those are violations of the U.S. Constitution. But here's the problem. So if somebody violates the U.S. Constitution or the Colorado Constitution, what happens at that point? You have to go ahead and take them to court. Yeah. And that's going to be a battle over a period of time. Now, in the state legislature, in statute, there is a vehicle that allows the state legislature to come in. And if they believe that the governor has overextended his powers, the state legislature can do a joint resolution to basically tell the governor your executive powers, your emergency powers are over. At that point in time, the governor is supposed to rescind his emergency powers. So, but right now, legislature is not in session. So,
there you go.
Yeah, that's right.
Even if they were. Yeah. And so let me ask you about one of the things that I find scary, because this is my belief that one of the reasons POLIS is sort of pivoting and loosening things in terms of, I mean, maybe not fast enough for bars like Roberts, but in a lot of ways, loosening the lockdown is he realizes that's sort of a losing battle. And what he really cares about are some of the other things, like some of the election laws where he's changed it, where you can gather signatures online, unless of course you're the due date too late, the anti-abortion one. They don't count. You don't have to have two people going to ballot boxes. I mean, I just worry. I mean, which, what on earth, how does he have any kind of right to change? What does the emergency have to do with picking up ballots from the ballot box? I mean, this is the kind of thing that really worries me, because I think this is where their real agenda is.
Right.
It's definitely an overextension. You know, when I made a comment the other day, I said, you know, this is the Jared Polis three-step. Step number one, shut down, decide which businesses are able to stay open and which are not, and basically shut down a number of businesses, particularly of those areas that might not be strong Democrat supporters.
Right. You know,
take them out of business. However it was done, in the first place, I do believe in the first place that people didn't know what this was going to be, what we were going to see with COVID. But we've been 5 weeks past the height of COVID, okay, 5 weeks past the height of hospitalizations in Colorado. So there are no excuses at this point.
Right.
So, you know,
The number of people that are dying on a daily basis.
And that's just with the inflated numbers.
Yeah, even with the massively inflated numbers, there are, you know, not a whole lot different than a high flu season.
Without a doubt. You know, and we're going to start seeing, this is sort of like what you see at the federal level. You're going to start seeing things unravel. You're going to start seeing information coming up. We have the same issues in Colorado as we have on the federal side. We have a press that is very friendly to Jared Polis. Even Fox News, my gosh, Chris Wallace. I thought it was a love fest on Sunday.
Well, you should have seen him with Neil Cavuto. Oh, man, that was a slobber deal.
Well, I can imagine. But the bottom line is that was the first step. And then he extended this lockdown, okay, taking people and their businesses out of commission. Starting to create this misery. It was definitely a power play. He basically used the departments of health as a way of basically establishing other blame.
Right.
And then that was step one. Step number two, he got this $1.6 billion.
Right.
What did he use it for? Did he use it to take and focus on the areas of the state that were most hurting from the Jared Polis lockdown businesses? No. What did he do? He spent it on everything else having to do with government, and with higher education, with K-12, with his natural allies.
Right.
His natural allies. Now, if they were hurting from those areas, but, you know, as you listen into the Joint Budget Committee over the last few days that I did, it was very clear that people hadn't established what even the gaps were from funding based upon this COVID crisis.
Right. So, well, to me, the money is, as a taxpayer, it's like the money should not be going to help fund the government. The money should be going to businesses like Roberts and other places and like CNC Cafe, people who are hurting.
Absolutely.
You know, that's where it needs to go. Okay, what was, and then what's
the... What did he do instead? He left those businesses hanging. And so now, as we get into a situation where businesses are trying to recover, they've got to try, first of all, beg forgiveness to open up again.
Yeah.
Hope that their employees come back, because we've got this crazy situation with the unemployment insurance with a $600 a week bonus on that, which it doesn't matter. Democrats and Republicans have blame there. That's the most insane thing in the world. That needs to end. But also, as these businesses come back online, they're going to be faced with higher taxes for unemployment.
Yes.
We didn't lay anybody off, but now we're going to get hit,
or
because
we laid you off because the government made us.
We weren't eligible for relief because we were, quote unquote, a media company.
Absolutely.
It's just,
and of course, the third step, of course, is this playing with election law.
Yeah.
He wants to, let's face it, let's say exactly what they want to do. Their plan, you know, is Carol Hedges and Klan want to come in with this idea of first of all, changing the flat tax in Colorado, the flat income tax, and establish a total, approximately a $2.5 billion tax increase on Coloradans.
Good.
Yeah, with a promise that the lowest rate was going to, the flat tax rate is going to go down minute percentages, and they're saying that anybody that makes less than $250,000 a year will actually pay less. Now, first of all, if you believe that's going to happen, I don't. And second of all, if they're making $2.5 billion more, and you start taking those people that are dealing with small businesses that are trying to recover, that have looked, I was talking to my an electrician down the street the other day, just met him for the first time, just moved in my block. Young guy, has his own electrical business. And we were talking about this, and I said, so you're going to get, instead of 4.63% income tax, you could be paying up to 8.9% income tax under this. And I said, you know, people think that you're rich if you make $250,000 a year. And he said, well, you want me to tell you about all the years we didn't take a paycheck?
You want me to tell you about
all the investments we did? And when we first started, we finally started getting some money through an S corporation or whatever else. Here we go. You know, the Democrats are hitting them. So it's like a double whammy there. And then, of course, you know, with Carol Hedges, when you take a look at what they're trying to do, there will be other things on the ballot. But this, trust me, this is nothing other than a socialist renewal of Colorado in their image and likeness. That's what they're trying to do.
And then they fiddle around with the election laws and the voting laws, so you can't change it.
Well, let me ask you one other off-topic one. I just thought it'd be interesting to ask you. We had a very interesting thing in Senate District 7, I guess, in El Paso, where
Senate District 10.
10, where Eli Bremer ran the one such that the grassroots person couldn't get on the ballot, kept on shortening the time period to get ones, goes to the state executive committee and then the central committee. They said, oh, that's not fair, put them both on the ballot. And then which is all normal stuff. And then the court said, no, you can't do that for whatever reason they came up with. But then Eli Bremer and all of the establishment guys go on this huge publicity campaign to destroy Ken Buck. I mean, they go first to Jason Salzman, the biggest, you know, hitman and crook in Colorado politics, to get that on the left wing. Then they go to the Denver Post, who runs various articles.
Completely huge. Unfair, yeah.
And then they run an editorial saying, we got to get rid of Ken Buck. We got to get rid of Ken Buck. What's that?
What's
really going on with Eli Bremer and the establishment? Because that's normally, those guys will not
think they'd like Ken Buck or something.
Well, no, I understand why they don't like him, because he was supposed to be Steve House was supposed to run the Republican Party, and Ken was supposed to just bring some money in, and he didn't. He became a fair chairman, and he wasn't their bought and paid for guy, and so they became mad. But usually, you know, if you're part of the establishment, you do not annoy the big donors like Anschutz and Coors and Stevenson and all the rest of them. Without, do you think they got their consent for this, or what's really going on?
Well, I don't know. You know, I don't. Of course, you know, Phil Anschutz doesn't call me to ask my opinion.
No.
And of course, you know the Neville family. We've probably been on the other side of things with some of the, you know, the power structure within
sure.
the state. Yeah. But you know, that being said, I think the biggest divide there is that, you know, Ken Buck, even though he may be seen as the establishment as part of as now the chairman of the party. And based around the way that election happened and everything else,
right?
Ken is still pretty focused on what's going on with the grassroots. Whereas Eli Bremmer and Jeff Hayes and the gang from Colorado Springs, that group has right. been focused on one thing, basically eliminating the caucus system and going to a flat primary system where, right. frankly, the donors, the large donors can pick and choose and anoint their candidate.
Right.
And you won't see those messy liberty fights that possibly involve, you know, the Nevilles and the Justin Everetts.
And the voters, the voters.
Yeah. And the people that say we care and we're here and we'd like to actually meet people and connect with people. It's so counterintuitive to how you would grow a party. It was very clear that those were the dividing lines.
Yeah.
It had very little to do with establishment versus whatever. It was those that are wishing to control the process completely and in effect, kill the caucus system.
Okay.
Screw it up a caucus.
But that is the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, they've been dying to kill the caucus system a long time. The establishment does not like the caucus system because it's a minimal.
Because voters get involved.
Because money is not as important as,
right.
as grassroots. So the establishment has been very against the caucus system from the beginning. So I think it's the same battle among the same people.
It comes down to the same thing. You have people that have wealth and income who will make a big benefit, frankly, if Republicans win and can regain control and power, they would like to see their people in there. You have the liberty groups who will benefit also. And then the question is, you know, how does this process look like? I mean, are we going to have a process where we have primaries and people duel it out a little bit and the idea of, you know, ideas and positions are important? Or are we going to sweep all that under the rug and there's going to be a name and then all of a sudden people anoint that person?
Yeah.
No, that's a weakness, and we've seen it in other states and we've seen what happens. I think Colorado has been, you know, been blessed to have a caucus system.
Right.
And these primaries are really important. People need to be, instead of being afraid of primaries, they need to embrace those and realize that that's part of the system, and iron sharpens iron.
Yeah.
Let me ask you one more last time. Do the Eli Bremers, the Both Way Bobs, the Joe Webbs, you just go down the list, do they consult and are they willing to do things that the donors who they represent don't approve of?
You know, I wouldn't be able to tell you that because I don't sit in on those meetings.
Well, who does, you know?
I'm assuming there must be some meetings somewhere. My focus
Somebody
is
must,
with
yeah.
the,
somebody's meeting.
Yeah,
if you're part of those meetings, call in.
Let us know how you're doing. Hey, let me zip you back because we just got a few more questions. This was something I read back to the coronavirus and the fallout. And I want to see what you think of this because I bet it's going to happen in other counties. So I was reading a thing today. The Adams County government is putting out a press release saying starting June 1st, because of coronavirus, Adams County employees, I'm sure many of whom work hard, are now going to go to a four-day work
week. They don't work hard.
All right, let me just finish. They're going to a four-day work week. And to save us all from coronavirus somehow. I mean, I'm looking at that and I'm like, what, is Monday some sort of scary day, like after 10 o'clock at night, that if they go to work on Monday, they're going to get coronavirus?
Well, what do you think Westminster does? Westminster's done that a long time ago.
I see.
I don't think they should have to work at all.
Yeah.
I think, you know, if we just not If all government workers just didn't work, but we paid them, it'd be a plus. It'd be a good thing.
Well, I mean, and they say they're going to have significant savings, and I'm like, how? I mean, just your thoughts on that. I just found that bizarre.
Well, I don't think you're going to see much savings in government at all. I think looking at what we saw, what I saw in the Joint Budget Committee, I saw people fighting tooth and nail. My conversation with Republicans would be, when we see this 25% reduction in our GDP, and we know what this is going to be, then we should see a reduction in government that is similar. But what we're seeing instead is that the governor took that $1.6 billion to shore up all of his governmental entities.
Right.
They don't cut program. They may delay funding, and they may slice certain amount of funding, but they're afraid to end programs. If you just took a look and you said, let's take a look at the programs over the last 4 or 5 years when we had these major budget surpluses that we started that we really can't afford now. And if you said, let's end them now, any new legislature can restart them if they feel that there is if there is a positive impact.
Right.
We can't afford them now. And let's focus again. But no, what do you see? You see the homestead, the senior homestead exemption being taken away. And of course, what's the problem here? Is this COVID issue affecting seniors a little bit? Okay. Same thing with the veterans exemption. Then we see them dipping into the unclaimed property fund and doing a $40 million plus money grab of money that's not even theirs. You're going to see that. That's coming, by the way. That'll be a JBC bill with full JBC support, unfortunately.
It's like, let me ask you a final question, then your thoughts on where you think Polis, is it going to get worse? Do you think he has other things up his sleeve here?
Yes, definitely. I believe that he's going to do whatever he can to basically focus on moving Colorado to more of a Democrat socialist environment, and to solidify his power base in the legislature, and also even within the social structure, the business structure. I think he's going to look, as you see the president looking to deregulate, the governor will do exactly the opposite, and the Democrats that are in the legislature will do exactly the opposite. Look at how he's opening restaurants back.
Right.
Slowly. You're going to just keep masks on until you're ready to take a bite to eat? This is stupid and ludicrous. He's even upset with the Boulder.
They closed the creek down.
Or whatever, that are out there on the creek. I mean, they've been there since, when I came here in 1977.
Yeah.
I get it. It's fresh air. It's what you should do in Colorado. It's why many of us came out here. He doesn't get it, and frankly, he doesn't care. He has a focus, the same focus that Gavin Newsom has, that those other governors that he signed onto this pact have. And he's going to be focused on that no matter what he says, unless he's forced to by current events or by the people in Colorado to take issue. He's going to continue along that path.
All right.
Well, I'm not sure it's going to have ultimately a negative effect on him. Who knows whether
he doesn't care.
Well, he does care. I mean, he cares enough that if people got really mad, then they might even overcome ballot harvesting and everything else.
Yes. I mean, he's a politician. Yeah. So politicians do care when people get really mad. But, it's like we used to say about the hunting dogs, Hunting dogs, you train a hunting dog and you take them out and you shoot around them. At first, they don't like gunshots because gunshots are dangerous. After a while, they don't get used to they get used to the gunshots.
Yeah. Right.
And they don't move unless all of a sudden they're hit by one.
Yeah.
So the politicians are the same way. If politicians are hit by a shot by their constituents, and that means an election.
Yep. All right, Tim, hey, thank you. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your thoughts. We'll talk to you again next
time.
Best
of luck, Tim.
Yeah,
take care.
It's not going to go.
All right, you guys keep the faith.
All right, thank you. We can also get a couple of minutes for phones, 888-627-6008. We've got a bunch of comments. This from Chris Doty: the most successful small businesses are collapsing. Money is the fuel of our society, and Polis is stealing it. Steve Barlock reminds us all to support Robert and his family at Cheers at 120th and Washington. And I want to go back to two, just a couple of things. I want to support Cory Gardner, which doesn't always come from people like me and Chuck. But so Channel 9 and Kyle Clark are tweeting this completely outrageous. They've got an agenda there saying Cory Gardner, it says for the first time in 22 years, a candidate has refused to debate on Channel 9, leaving out the fact that Cory Gardner is debating everywhere else. He's got five debates that he's agreed to.
This is great.
Hickenlooper has agreed to none, by the way.
No, this is great. This is great for him. The more Kyle Clark whines and complains, the more that people are looking at it, go, well, why wouldn't you want to be on that? Well, why would you? I mean, Channel 9 used to be by far the biggest ratings, as Julie can tell you. You know, it was the king of ones. And ever since Kyle Clark has gotten a hold of it, and they've allowed Kyle Clark and his ilk because they agree with it, it's people go, no, I don't want anything to do with it.
Well, yeah, and but again, don't be misled. The media, as they always do with Channel 9, you know, they try to make it sound, they just put the bad spin on it. They don't even pretend to be fair about it, right? Again, that's like the whole thing makes it sound as if Cory Gardner is refusing to debate, you know, and they call him, he won't show up, they criticize him constantly.
But you don't understand, Joe, this is great. Have him do more of this.
Exactly. Don't buy him. Cory Gardner's debating all over the place. The other thing that annoys me, and I want to go back to this Adams County, I, for the life of me, don't understand, and maybe this show or next show, somebody can call me if I'm wrong, but how does Adams County, they're going to have the same number of employees making the same salary, just working less? The only people that
tell you
tax
I can tell
is
you.
Us, right?
No. Because a lot of them have their own own county-owned vehicles, right, that you pay for, including all the mileage. Well, now they're only going to work 4 days.
So they
have more time to drive around the rest of the county.
And they're closing down stuff like the Department of Motor Vehicles, right?
Yeah, of course.
And they said, we're going to be open earlier. They're opening like an hour earlier.
So
how is that saving money? How on earth does that, if you guys, we're just going to have to keep our eyes open because we're going to see more and more of this.
No, you need to close your eyes. It's too painful to watch this stuff.
We're going
to
see places like Robert's Bar, so you can't play pool because even though the CDC now says that coronavirus.
Well, they may open it up because Fridays or Mondays, whatever days they decide to take off.
No, the Adams County employees can go there.
Yeah, well, it'd be Fridays because you don't take Mondays because Mondays are
already
high.
No, they're taking Monday off.
They'll change it to Friday once they learn that there's all the holidays.
That's insanity. Why under the coronavirus, which was shown to be nothing?
Because they've been dying to do it for time in memoriam. If you were a government worker, wouldn't you want to work at one at home and only 4 days a week?
So, Chuck, I work for you at the newspaper. Can I work?
Absolutely.
But my pay stay the same and I get a raise in my pension? It's just, we're going to have to keep our eyes open.
Don't keep your eyes open. Close them.
No, you do. Close them. We cannot get them.
It's too ugly. It's too ugly what they're doing.
I want to remind folks, ColoradoFreedomForce.com is a place where you can go if you want to help with some of the lawsuits. I hope that places like Robert, and thank you, Steve Barlock, for giving us information on that, can get some help. Randy's doing a great job, and you can help donate there. I want to thank our good friends at ColoradoCitizenPress.com. They keep track of all of this stuff. And Chuck, one more time, Cenogenics.
Yeah, that's right. 720-387-3681. Get yourself back where you need to be. Get a little younger, at least inside.
That's right. Hey, so thank you to everybody. Thanks to all the folks at BBS. Thank you for everybody listening. Thanks to Tim Neville, Randy Corcoran, Steve Barlock, and Robert. Robert, you just keep in touch. We will be there. And we'll try to get everybody we know to be there, too, for you as soon as you can open up.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate it. And I guess we'll see you.
Party Friday.
Party. God, another Party Friday.
Party Friday.
All right. Till Party Friday, everybody.